press this button. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning from him.
And good morning from her. And this is CCNA 1, Module 7. And this morning, as we were last week, we're working from notes provided by Mr. McMillan. Seek Tech for all your adaptive technology requirements.
This has been a paid infomercial.
Well, as I said, we still haven't got the Scotch over Skype yet. Yeah, that's all.
It sounds like
a
really good protocol for Scotch over Skype.
Scotch over Skype, yeah, it'd be good. It's supposed to be SOS protocol as well. Okay. This morning, we're going to be talking about Ethernet, or Ethernet, depending on where you come from. You say Ethernet, and I say Ethernet. And this is a pretty boring module, but it's quite important that you understand what's in it, because it has some key concepts that they're going to bash you around the head with in CCNA 3 and 4, and they're going to expect you to know them all. I apologise for the hi-fi versions of the recordings. We've got a little bit of hum from a noisy drive cage in one of these machines, so you'll get all the way through your recording. We apologise for that. So take your pick between the conference one and this one. Okay. Now, before we get started, does anybody have any questions about Module 6 that we went through last week, or are we going to wait until Module 7's over and then you can get mega confused and ask questions? If anybody has any questions, raise their hand. While you're waiting for the hand to raise, why don't you consider whether you've got any questions or not?
Definitely a Friday morning.
Still no questions? Right. Ethernet. What is it, and why should you care? A long time ago, in a computer lab far, far away, it was decided that computers needed to be linked together. And we talked about that last week, and we talked about the Aloha system. We talked about Bob Metcalf and his other mates at Xerox. And, yeah, that's it. It's time to shut Steve's clock. If anybody wants a copy of Steve's clock, get in touch with me off list and you can find out what I'm going on about. I still have the free version here. Now, Steve makes you pay for it. Triple unfortunate? The other thing I want to mention to people, and this has actually got nothing to do with Ethernet, but if you're trying to record things, make sure you don't have Skype open at the same time, because Skype messes with your microphone level, whether you tell it to or not. You have been warned. Okay. Ethernet started off as a standard to link computers together back in the early 80s, and essentially Ethernet was very expensive back then. And we're going to talk about the different types of Ethernet today. Now, Ethernet remained unchanged, generally speaking, until 1995, when the IEEE published a standard for 1995, 400 gigabit Ethernet. There were two competing standards. There was VGNLAN, and I can't remember what the other one was called. I do, and that means nobody will remember what it is either. And I'll say it again, just for Gemma. Okay, Gigabit Ethernet came out. In 1998, Gigabit came out. Well, that was horrendously expensive. Up until quite recently. And it's only now that gigabit switches are coming down in price. MAC addresses, CSMA and CD, CSMACT, which we talked about last week, have remained unchanged. And the frame format is the same. Now, optical fibre, that used to be fairly expensive as well, just because there wasn't a lot of it and it was difficult to cable, and you didn't have lots of people who knew how to scrape the ends clean and all that sort of thing. However, there is lots of optical fibre due to its ability to run longer distances, to carry a lot of data, and to basically not get in the way. And in fact, a lot of new buildings are actually being built and having the optical fibre run during the building phase. And there's a fair bit of optical fibre around Curtin. Okay, 10 megabit Ethernet. 10 base 5, 10 base 2, and 10 base T. 10 base 5, thick coax, 500 metres maximum segment
yards.
Length.
Yards.
What?
500 yards.
Oh, 500 yards. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. There's 1.094 metres in the yard. Well, actually, there's yards, actually. So there's notes actually say metres. Oh, dear. Okay, the timing's the same. Timing's the same. Parameters are the same. Frame format's the same. And the transmission processes are the same on all the 10 base Ethernets. Okay, 50 ohm coaxial cable. Now these notes say maximum length 185 metres, 606
yeah,
feet.
I think I'm wrong. I think it's 200 is the metre and
yep.
500. Sorry, 200 is the yard and 500 is metres.
Okay. 10 base 5. 50 ohm coaxial cable. 50 ohm refers to the impedance of the cable. And that's important if you're doing sort of the signally sort of stuff. 300. This actually says 300 meters, 1508 feet. Interestingly enough, I don't know why it says that. Okay, category 3, 4, and 5 twisted pair, which is a 10 base T.
Five.
Sorry. Four pairs. Well, actually, the category 3 and 4 only use 2 pairs, but they do tend to recommend that you wire them all up these days because Gigabit uses all of them. And if you only wire up 2 of the pairs, then Gigabit isn't going to happen and people are going to get rather upset. And it's all very well and good not to wire up the pairs, but if the cables are built into the walls, you might as well wire all the pins. Maximum length 100 metres, 328 feet from the switch or the hub to the workstations, and normally they recommend 90 metres for your big long cables that run through the walls, and they recommend 10 metres for the drop lead, but obviously 100 metres all up. You only need 2 pairs for 100 base T, however, and that allows you to do things like power over Ethernet. However, power over Ethernet, because it does put DC over the unused pairs, does end up in your cables corroding due to the ionising effect of having the DC flowing through the cables. Power over Ethernet basically means that you can get power to a device that's on the end of an Ethernet cable without actually having to run a separate wall wart or running a separate power supply to it. It's very popular in outdoor wireless installations where you basically have an Ethernet cable running up to a waterproof box and you have the power going over the unused pairs, and then that wires into your radio that's in the waterproof box and you don't have to run an extension lead in the rain, effectively. Okay, you've got your fibre. Lengths and stuff, but a lot of that's covered in the diagram description, so I'm not going to bore you all to tears with that. But 400 meters for 100 base FX, 62.5 125 multimode fiber, 1000 base CX. Oh no, that's for twisted pair. 1000. Okay, skip over those. Obviously, the single mode fibre goes longer than the multi mode stuff, as previously discussed in one of the earlier modules. Okay, 10 megabit Ethernet and other versions are asynchronous. Each receiver, each station uses the 8 octets in the preamble to time the receivers. All 10 base 5, 2 and T share the same timing parameters. Okay. One bit time on that particular set is 10 Mbps. Is 100 nanoseconds. The reason you've got the slot time, as previously discussed, is it's the time to go from one end of the collision domain to the other, and that includes any possible delays put in by repeaters. Okay. We have the frame format re-summarized there. Now there's a thing that we don't use anymore called the SQE signal, which is sent from the transceiver back to the controller, which lets the controller know whether the transceiver is functioning properly. That signal is also called the heartbeat, and in fact on some transceivers I've got some AUI, which is the 15-pin connector to Twisted Pair, they've actually got a little switch that'll let you turn on SQE or turn it off again. It's only used in 10 megabit Ethernet as far as I can tell. And it's meant to fix this problem in earlier versions of Ethernet before we had that N-way link order negotiation that I talked about last week, where you can actually tell whether the transceiver is connected or not. It only works in half duplex mode. It was interesting, I used to have some old cards, some NI5210s, which were 8-bit coax-only cards, and they actually had circuitry on them that would actually tell you whether it was connected or not, and if there was a cable fault it would tell you how far away it was, which was kind of cool. Obviously, your modern network cards don't always have that level of circuitry. Although I did see in a BIOS the other day, there was actually a test utility on one of the gigabit cards, I think it was a VIA onboard gigabit card, that would actually do a wire test and tell you whether all the four pairs were connected, whether it was capable of supporting gigabit, and approximately how long the cable was. Possibly not very accurately, but better than nothing. Sorry? Ah, the Enforce stuff, NVIDIA. Yeah, NVIDIA bought VIA. Yeah. No. Or the other way around, I can't remember which way. Anyway, NVIDIA and VIA, they both do the same thing now. Okay. Now it tells you what that's used for. All 10 megabit versions of Ethernet perform line encoding, and the line encoding they use is Manchester encoding, and it basically uses the center okay. Uses the transition in the middle of the timing window to determine whether the bit is a 0 or a 1, and we have a little beep beep lab that we're probably going to pre-record to explain that. Because to be honest with you, it turns my head inside out. Okay, timing is based on cable length and propagation delay, delay of repeaters, delays of transceivers, interframe gap shrinkage, and delays on the actual Ethernet station itself. Okay, there's a 3-4-5 rule, three populated segments. Up to four repeaters and five segments all up. And only three populated segments. A lot of that is, it's important to know, but I would suggest that the actual process of daisy chaining switches and things has made a lot of that repeater theory not as relevant as it once may have been.
Comes up in the exam though, doesn't it?
It does come up in the exam. Although heaven knows what's going to come up in the exam once they rejigger this curriculum.
But the 5-4-3 rule is there.
It is indeed. Okay, 10 base 5. 1980 it was introduced. And it was the first medium they used. Don't put it in new stuff because people don't use it very much anymore. Now with this 10 base 5 and 10 base 2 stuff, all of the things are connected together on what we call a bus. That is to say that you have a big long piece of cable, you have a terminator at each end. With 10 base 2 you have T pieces to connect the machines onto the cable, and one break or fault in the cable will bring that whole segment down. If you didn't want to do any work on a Friday afternoon and you're in L1.5 at Tamworth TAFE, you could just pull the terminator off the end on the front workstation and nobody would do anything. Ten base 2 was introduced in 1985. Thinner cable, easier to install. Good flexible cable actually. Doesn't bend around really sharp corners, but the cable is fairly light and easy to drag around. And when you get sick of Ethernet, you can then chop your cable into little lengths and use it for CB radio or UHF. Okay, we'll unmute Dean. Yep, you're unmuted, Dean. No. I have not said token ring at all yet. No, that's okay. Ethernet is not token ring. Token ring is a completely different kettle of fish. But you wouldn't know that because you haven't listened to lecture 5 yet, so don't worry too much. I do talk about token ring in lecture 5. Yeah. Okay, we'll mute Dean again. There we go. 10 base 2 also uses Manchester encoding, and the computers are theoretically linked together by unbroken coaxial links. See previous discussion. There is BNC connectors, which are sort of the similar ones that you use on really, really old VHS machines that should have been thrown in the arc. Fairly solid, stable connector with little twisty things on them. They're kind of cool. For the local students, we'll be able to show you that, and for the remote students, we might talk about it. Okay, 185 metres maximum length for 10 base 2. Okay, and half duplex, of course. Up to 30 stations per segment on 10 base 2. I have a feeling that's in the test too. The swipe.
It is, actually, I believe.
Yeah. 10 base T. 1990 10 base T came out. It originally used Category 3 cable, however, I would not recommend putting Category 3 in a new installation, even if you could buy it. You'd really have to go to the bargain shop or Ross's Salvage to get Category 3 cable. Or you get it off some mate that has this garage full of it. Yeah, okay, we won't talk about the Western Australian some mate theory, but let's just say that if you can get something any cheaper in WA, somebody will have found a way to get it really cheap. So this means that if you have some bloke that got this cable from this building site 15 years ago, and it's this twisted pair stuff, you probably don't want it. Unless it's got Category 5 or better written on the outside of it, you probably don't want it. Sorry dear, I can't hear you. If you're going to talk, unmute yourself. Okay. Ethernet became incredibly popular, especially with 10 base T, because although the hubs and switches were initially expensive, the cable was extremely cheap, as in 50 cents a metre, which was fairly cheap, and they decided that they would put full duplex features into these things, and they did that, and it became a lot more popular. Full duplex being the ability to send and receive simultaneously, at the same time even. Okay. It also uses Manchester encoding. It uses 8-pin RJ45 connectors. See previous rant about wiring up all the pins. 1 and 2 are a twisted pair, 3 and 6 are a twisted pair, 4 and 5 are a twisted pair, 7 and 8 have a twisted pair, and Geraldine has a little song about that, which we won't sing today.
Noir.
To tell you which way the colours go. Okay. And in fact, if Graham doesn't behave, he'll be made to sing along as well.
And it's in the exam.
It is, actually. Okay. One of the things I will mention here is that, technically speaking, it would help if I didn't yawn in the middle of a phrase. 10 megabit, half duplex carries 10 megabits of data at once, and full duplex carries 20 megabits. That is to say that it carries 20 megabits given the fact that it's carrying 10 megabits one way and 10 megabits the other way. It's one of those advertising things. So every network card, even the Happy Lucky Dragon ones that do full duplex, have written on the box up to 200 megabits per second data transfer. That's in both directions at the same time, simultaneously like. Okay. Okay, 10 base T is cool. You can use multiple protocols without rewiring. That's handy. We have a list of pins and signals. Thank you, Chris. I don't think I'll go through those, or you'll all be snoring at me. But they are in here. And in fact, I'll be sending these notes to Mr. Murray, because I'm not sure how his diagram descriptions for Module 7 went, but that was quite a nice... But they were quite nicely spelt out in that little thing from Mr. McMillan, so another case of scotch for Chris. He'll need it after he's finished running Vista, I can tell you. A 10 base T link generally connects a station to a hub or a switch, unless you live in Western Australia where you've only got two computers and a crossover cable. A crossover cable is a cable, just so that you know, where the transmit pair is wired to the receive pair and vice versa, and you use it to connect two computers together, and if you've only got these two computers, you connect them together with the crossover cable. Then when you have to go and buy a switch or a hub because you've got more computers, you then cry about the crossover cable that you can't use anymore, and you have to go and buy straight through cables. Given the fact that the average switch now retails for $25 Australian for your Happy Lucky Dragon 8-port model, I would strongly suggest that you just go out and buy a switch. They're not that expensive. And the blinking lights kind of look cool too. Hubs do not divide networks into collision domains. Hubs are multi-port repeaters. This is in the exam. Switches and bridges, however, divide networks into collision domains, which I will cover again presently. The maximum distance between the switches and the hubs is based on the media limitations. You can only run 100 metres of cable from one switch to another switch. Keep in mind, that'll be the phone reach. Keep in mind that given the fact that there are delays when you daisy-chain switches and hubs together, these delays should be considered when you're talking about network performance. There are reasons why you don't daisy-chain 7 switches together, unless they're the really flash expensive ones. The 100 metre distance does start over again at the switch, because the switch micro-segments the network, which I'll talk about in a minute. And hubs don't do that. Hubs actually propagate collisions out through the whole thing, and it's all quite messy. And there's Geraldine's drinking pills there.
My Diet Coke infomercial.
Just for the taste of it.
That's it.
Sorry, just one calorie even.
Diet Coke.
That's right.
We're not influenced by advertising at all.
No, the advertising doesn't work on us.
Okay, 100 megabit Ethernet. It's also known as fast Ethernet. Why? Because it's faster than 10 megabit. Isn't that really cool? I don't think gigabit is known as mega super ultra fast Ethernet though. So, okay, it's referred to as fast Ethernet. And you can either use unshielded twisted pair, or you can use fiber, which is a multi-mode optical fiber medium, 100 base FX. .01 microseconds for 1 bit time. Notice that as the speed increases, the time for the signal decreases by the same order of magnitude. You don't have to know all of the timing, but there it is. Frame formats remain unchanged. And we have that summarized again. The bits are sent more frequently. The signals are shorter, therefore they are more sensitive to noise. This means that you cannot, as some friends of mine did, crimp twisted pair like you crimp coax, where you sort of get the plug and then you get this hammer and then you hammer it down on all sides because you don't have a crimping tool. It is very important to correctly crimp and correctly terminate 100 base networking stuff, and if you don't, you will get all sorts of impedance mismatches and signal reflections, and your game of Second Life just won't be as good. There's 4B5B encoding, and then there's a specific line coding for copper and fiber, and we don't go into 4B5B, I don't think. Okay. 100 base TX was a standard that made it through, except the other two didn't, and that was 1995 that happened, which was my first year at TAFE, which is the only reason I know about it. So we can do full duplex over 10 base T. However, that is a configuration decision. Generally speaking, you would always use full duplex over 100 megabit Ethernet unless you had a particular switch or hub or device that didn't like it. One of the things to mention is that most devices auto-configure themselves these days, except for when they don't. And in fact, older Cisco equipment, I think newer Cisco equipment defaults to auto-configuration, but older Cisco equipment had to be specifically configured for the speed and duplex of the medium that you were working in. Okay. Switches. There are a couple of types of switches. There's the cheap ones, i.e. the Happy Lucky Dragon, and there's the expensive ones. The cheap ones usually advertise on the box of having 4 megabits of RAM. 4 megabits of RAM, if we do a quick conversion, that's 512 kilobytes. Why do they write 4 megabits? Because advertising people like to write 4 megabits instead of 512 kilobytes. That RAM is used for a table which learns which MAC addresses are on which ports. And most of the cheap switches use what we call store and forward. That means they receive a frame, they have a look at the frame, and then they switch it out to the port, which is where they store and forward the frame. This increases the latency. If you have cut-through switching, which is the really expensive stuff that Cisco and a few other companies will sell you if you want to empty your wallet for them, it supports the ability to actually flip the frame across onto the right port as soon as the target MAC address has been received. That's obviously a lot faster and a bit more efficient. Pinouts for 10 base TX are the same as 100 base TX. And we have the pins summarised here. Who? Okay, unmute Dean. Yep, you should be unmuted then. Right. I think I did that in one of the previous modules, but we can redefine that in case anybody's forgotten. Okay. Latency is the time taken for something to happen, either a signal to be sent somewhere. It's basically the funky word for delay. although it's usually the time taken before you actually do something to when something actually happens. Obviously, TransPerth doesn't apologise for any latencies incurred, because most people wouldn't understand. But latency is the time taken from when you actually do something to when a response actually happens. No worries. And at the risk of being extremely unpopular, if Gemma's having a really bad day, you can define latency between the time when you tell a joke and when she actually starts laughing. But that is a practical example of latency. Another practical example of latency is in hard disk electronics, where you tell the drive to do something and it could take 4 or 5 milliseconds for the drive to actually get around to doing that. Okay. There was noisy, yucky 50-cycle hum in my equipment today. I blame these curtain machines. Hundred base FX, it's 100 base Ethernet over fiber. Fiber's used for connections between buildings and things. Well, it depends how close the buildings are, but usually between buildings and floors. And the reason you don't run copper long distance, generally speaking, is lightning. Most Ethernet switches and hubs don't like lightning, pretty much. Okay, gigabit is now the dominant technology for backbone, and I'd say in a year or two it'll be 10 gigabit because people just want more, more, more. Okay. And it uses NRZI, which is non-return to zero, and I don't think we talked to that either. We don't talk about that really a lot either. And you usually use a pair of fibres for that. It's fairly flexible. You don't want to bend it around too many corners, obviously, given the fact that it's a light ray, but it will bend around a certain number of sort of bendy bits because of the total internal reflection, which we talked about in one of the earlier modules. Mbps transmission and separate transmit and receive fibres, obviously. Okay, hubs are considered multi-port repeaters, and switches are considered multi-port bridges. Okay, and we talk about different classes of repeaters, but I don't think they're actually covered in the exam. I don't remember class I repeaters introducing up to 140 bit times of latency being covered in the exam. Class 2 repeaters are 92 bit times, and they have to do things a bit faster. And you can only use class 2 repeaters on the same segment type, but I don't think that's in the exam either. Half duplex can be done, but you probably don't want to, because full duplex is better if you can for any reason. And modern networking technologies, you would probably want to be installing 100 base TX, gigabit, or wireless. Most people use switches. I think we covered that, being the $25 for the 8-port model. Yes, you can save yourself $3 by getting the 5-port module, but gee, you're not very happy when you get computer number 6. Okay.
Evolution of the Ethernet.
Yes, the evolution of gigabit Ethernet. That sounds a bit like Pokemon. Gotta catch them all.
Major improvements, even.
Indeed. It is, actually. The 1000 base T standard uses category 5 or better copper cabling, or the 1000 base X standard, IEEE 802.3Z, or Z if you live over in Sesame Street land, and specifies 1 gigabit per second, full duplex, over optical fibre.
Oh no,
$26. My goodness gracious me, the switches have gone up. Okay, well, gee, I'm not buying any more of those, they're $26 now. Luckily, I've got three of them in this box at home. They all use the same timing thing, which is 0.1 billionth of a second bit time. My understanding about gigabit was, what they did was, is they got the 100 megabit stuff and then they pulled every electrical trick in the book that they could possibly think of to manage to get 1 gigabit of data across cable that was only capable of carrying 250 megahertz worth of signal. And they do that by transmitting and receiving at the same time, and as far as I can tell, it's all done with smoke and mirrors. It does appear to work, however, or at least our network goes nice and fast with gigabit. The reason we upgraded to gigabit was we wished to archive our personal music collection up onto our server, and it takes a long time to copy 600 megabytes at 100 megabit. And it copies, takes even longer to copy 4.7 gig, i.e. the size of a DVD, at 100 megabit. So it was time to go gigabit. Frames are unchanged with gigabit Ethernet. However, there has been some push by some manufacturers, such as Protean Networks, I think who were the original people, to increase the frame size. If you are sending lots and lots and lots of 1500 byte Ethernet frames at gigabit, the overhead becomes quite noticeable. You can get more data through if you extend the frames. Only problem with that is that jumbo frames are not a standard, and you can actually, there are tables of which switches will support frames of which size. Some switches will do 3K frames, some will do 5K, some will do 7K, some will do 9K. If you have all of these switches on the same segment and you're sending data across them, it effectively limits the frame size to the smallest size that can go through a particular switch. And in fact, some switches have nasty habits of crashing and rebooting if you send frames that are too big at them. Okay, because of the higher speed... Yep, unmute Dean. Yep. Yeah, you're unmuted, Dean. I will cover that a little bit later. I have spoken about collision domains, and that was in last week's lecture. But I will cover that in a minute. No worries. Symbols and gigabit Ethernet, the stuff is converted to symbols. And the control signals and data symbols. I think you probably want to read through this yourself. It does all look like smoke and mirrors. Okay, the frame format's unchanged for gigabit, obviously. Just as a reminder, 7 bytes of preamble. Start frame is 1 byte. Destination MAC address 6 octets. The reason you send the destination first rather than the source is because you're more interested in where it's going, especially if you're doing cut-through switching than if you where it's coming from. Source 6. Length/type field 2 bytes. And data and pad to get you to at least 46 bytes through to 1500. And the frame check sequence, which is 4. Which is a 32-bit cyclic redundancy check covered in a special talk that is on the website. There's a little talk between Ian and Chris about cyclic redundancy checks and generator polynomials. No polynomial is not your auntie's parrot.
We've lost Jim.
I do this every 10 minutes or so because she'll fall asleep at my lectures if I don't. Okay. AB is 1000 base T standard. use all four pairs in gigabit. I think I've said that about four times this morning. You need all four pairs, so don't let your mate just wire up 1, 2, 3, and 6 and think it'll be all right. You need all four of them. That means breaking out the magnifying glass and the really bright torch, so be it. Category 5E and Category 6 cable is the stuff you'll be using. Doesn't Category 6 have some shield or something on it? I can't remember. But there is.
Category 6 doesn't have.
No, it doesn't?
No, they're all YouTube.
It's got this, the Category 6 stuff I've got, it's got this spacer thing down the middle of it though, which is kind of cool.
It may have spacer, but it's not shielded.
Yeah, but it's not shielded,
it's
but it does have...
the twisted pairs apart.
And it's to keep the twisted pairs apart, to stop them from interfering with each other. Okay, so basically you send and receive at the same time on the wire pairs, and you have a constant collision, and apparently there are about 9 different voltage levels, so it sounds like few of the design engineers took something that's probably illegal and pulled out the old cathode ray oscilloscopes and came up with some good ideas. You can use half duplex and full duplex on that as well, and full duplex is pretty damn common these days. You've got your fibre standards. They recommend gigabit over fibre being the preferred backbone technology because the copper stuff is just a horrible clutch with smoke and mirrors. Okay, and we'll talk about how the specific encodings work to a certain extent, although we don't go too heavily into it because this is a networking course, not an electronics one. Okay. You can use single mode or multi-mode for this. The reality is you can actually do up to 5 kilometres with single mode, according to these notes. This means that if you're going to run your cable 5,000 metres, make sure you run it where nobody's going to trip over it. Okay. 1,000 base LX. 10 base, 10 microns, single mode fiber. 10 microns is pretty thin. 50 micron multi-mode fiber will go 500 meters. And 62.5 microns will go 500 meters as well. 1,000 base SX. 50 micron multi-mode fiber, which will go 500 meters. And 62.5 multi-micron fiber that goes 500 meters. No, 325 meters, I made that one up. Okay, these aren't in the test. Don't panic. I think it will ask you what the difference between single and multi-mode is. I don't think there's a length question, but if there is a length question, then keep in mind that the multi-mode fiber doesn't go as long as the single mode stuff. At least that's how I passed it anyway. Your mileage may vary, limit of 1 per customer. No refund policy. Okay. Okay, the distance is limited by the round trip delay, not the actual media as such, because most things are switched. And you're allowed to daisy chain, and you're allowed to extended star, so this means that LAN parties are much easier to set up, because you just get Bob's hub and hook it up to Andrew's hub, hook it up to Jim's hub, and you just run this cable across the doorway to the kitchen, and hope nobody trips over it. Okay, cables are the same, except they've got to be basically Cat5e or better. The twists have got to be good, I keep saying that. And if you get a good cable tester, and usually none of us can afford those, it can actually tell you whether the cable is good enough to carry the signal or not. Otherwise, if you can't afford those, plug the cable in and see if it works. At 100 metres, it's really, really on the edge of whether it's going to work or not at 1,000 base T. So don't think you're going to get 110 metres out because it probably might not work. You should configure everything for auto negotiation because most things support it. And it's just a good idea. Now, the reason you couldn't find anything on the pinouts for gigabit Ethernet, Chris, was because they're the same for 100 megabit. Pinouts don't change, they just do the whole thing with the multi-voltage thing. Okay, you got gigabit and 10 gigabit Ethernet. 10 gig only runs over fiber at this stage. I don't think they're going to be able to get 10 gig over copper, but you never know. I really doubt it. It's point to point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why all collision distance problems we had before.
It probably says that further down in the notes, I just haven't got there. But Alex has just told me that 10 gigabit Ethernet is point to point. And that probably makes sense because a lot of links these days are point to point for various reasons. Okay. They're using that for other things than LANs. They're using it for metropolitan area networks and wide area networks because it goes so fast and it goes fairly high distances. Ethernet was originally only a LAN technology, however, people started liking it so much that they fudged it into working over longer distances. You can go 40 kilometres over single mode fibre on 10 gigabit Ethernet according to these notes. And it's compatible with SONET and SDH. And I think SONET was particularly popular in Europe and not particularly popular over here, but I can't remember. Frames are all the same. And the bit time is 0.1 nanoseconds, so not very long. Definitely not time to grab a coffee, I can tell you. CSOACD is not used on 10 gigabit Ethernet because it's always full duplex fiber connections, and given the fact that it's point to point, you don't usually have collisions, I don't think. And they reckon it's going to be cheaper, easier, nicer, and overall better. Go out and get six today. And as far as I'm aware, I mean, these notes are pretty old. They're still working on 10 gig Ethernet, or have they rattled it all out by now?
10 gig simulated, standardized.
Oh, okay, well, these notes are saying that they're still working on it.
Probably were at the time of writing.
Fair enough.
Fairly recently.
Okay. You do whatever you need to do. You can always download the lecture later if you need to. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's all right. No problem.
See you next time, Bianca. Bye.
Yep. Enjoy.
Bye.
What time is it over there at the moment?
Oh, coming up on 2 o'clock over there, and it'll be 3 o'clock when the lecture starts next week. So I don't know whether she'll be in for the 3 o'clock lecture, it just depends on what she's doing. Okay, 10 gig was standardised in June 2002. It's full duplex, as previously discussed. Okay. You need exact timing for 10 gigabit Ethernet, because if you don't have it, it's very difficult to detect the really short bits from noise. Just let for Geraldine fiddle with her microphone there.
Oh, sorry.
Sprung.
I was kind of scratching my ear.
yeah, it just sort of goes when you do that. So yes. Yeah, okay.
So it seems, yes.
Now. Bless you, Gordon. They basically launch multiple light waves into the fibre at the same time, and they use wave division multiplexing. So, all pretty funky stuff. And you can, I think you probably can get native switches now, but these notes basically say you get these 10 gig add-on things that you can plug into high-end switches and routers. Sorry? Somebody's generating noise. Just hang on, I'll shut everyone down. Okay, and we'll need to unmute Geraldine. Oh, it's Geraldine that's generating the noise. Why are you generating noise over there, Geraldine?
Bzzz, I don't know.
No, she's not. Just check your plugs are into the computer properly, are they?
Yes.
Hmm.
No problem.
You may have a problem with that headset, because it seems to continue to cause these difficulties.
Yeah, that one might not be well. All right, we'll mute that one for the moment. If she needs to say anything, she can make a noise.
Okay.
You probably swap them over, I think, because Sue shouldn't need to talk too much on the conference. Okay.
I think
what is the future of Ethernet? Well, it's going to get better, it's going to get faster, and it's going to come in the colour yellow. No, there are probably other things going to happen to it too. Everybody reckons that Ethernet is the one to have. In fact, so many people use it that that's just how it is. And it's, let's just say that you don't see a lot of token ring these days unless you've got a specific reason to see it. There are certain reasons why you would use token ring or token ring like protocols, but we don't talk about that generally in this course. They're looking at possibly 40, 100 and 160 gigabit standards. Ah, that's better. They're looking at getting rid of CSMA CD potentially in the future. And the reason they're looking at doing that is because you don't have a problem with collisions that you once did, given the fact that everybody's using switches and the like. Except in wireless, but we don't talk about wireless at the moment. And then we use CSMA CA, which is collision avoidance, and we don't talk about that either. Who?
Graham.
Ah, unmute Graham. Yeah? You're unmuted, Graham. Ah, no, you're not. Why can't I hear you? You haven't switched your switch on the thing, have you? That's all right. Oh, he's on there.
That's better.
So there you go. Just call him Graham Wikipedia. Standard over what? I didn't actually catch what the...
Over copper. Yeah, 10 gig over copper.
Ah, 10 gig over copper. Yeah. I don't think the distances on it are very good, though.
That's 15 metres. It's for connecting servers together. So you've got two servers, you can plug them in on the 10 gig copper line and go through to your fiber.
If you've got a SAN or something, but you'd probably use fiber for your SAN anyway. Everybody's excited about wireless because you don't trip over the cord. Don't know whether it cooks your insides slowly with microwaves, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm of the opinion that life causes cancer. But there'll probably be something that says that wireless causes cancer in a couple of years. But they're making wireless go faster and they're getting 100 megabits and more per second over wireless, and that's what all this WiMAX and 802. whatever that they're still trying to push out, because people want to surf the net with their PDA and drink coffee at the same time. So people like the mobility of wireless. Okay. And they're looking at moving a lot towards single mode fiber and lasers because it just makes more sense. Also, they're looking at putting quality of service stuff in there because they want to be able to prioritise voice and stuff over data, or rather, you know, voice over IP over, you know, bulk data payloads. So when Ian's downloading the latest upgrade to Mac OS, they still want the VoIP network to behave itself.
What with my 5 gig downloads?
Hey?
What's wrong with my 5 gig file download?
What's wrong with these 5 gig file downloads? Nothing, as long as it's got quality of service. There's an oxymoron for you. Now, okay, so it's Ethernet that's sort of getting to this high speed stuff. A lot of people thought that ATM would be the really high speed, and you know, with ATM has a whole lot of quality of service features already built into it. But it seems that Ethernet has now got those built into it, and it seems to be the one that's going to be...
Sorry.
Well, it's a clutch. That's what those notes say.
Yes, ATM was great, except for the expense we could draw
prior to it. Yeah, ATM was very expensive, and it used these 55-byte cells, and you sort of use bits of ATM technology, or at least some of the bits and pieces of it, over ADSL, but we don't go into that. And that's the end of the lecture. Wow. Isn't that good?
Okay, announcement sent in a mark.
Do you want to unmute Ian, or are you not on?
Oh, okay. Yep.
So you have the power over for a few minutes there.
Okay, let's do that. Never unmute me. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, quick announcement. I just sent out something on the Kemi announce. If people have a chance after the lecture, can they hang around? I want to try and get the Ventrilo server tried out. We've been offering use of one of these supposedly very high quality servers for free. It'll handle 50 people. It's a push-to-talk system. We also have the ability to text and have text-to-speech on your text messages running for the same client. So it looked rather nice, and the quality was appearing good, but not 100% certain on the accessibility. So people are willing to hang around after the lecture, we'll give it a shot. But the instructions are going out on the announce list. Thank you.
Okay, now after that message from our sponsor, does anybody have any questions? I'll probably go over... I'm pretty sure I went over switches in a previous lecture, so I don't know whether I want to go over that again. It depends if anybody wants me to go over that again. Anyone got any questions? No? Okay. Obviously, if anybody has any questions, they can be posted to the discuss list. Ah, Chris has just put his hand up. Okay.
Probably.
Okay, and Dean, you're after Chris. So it takes a bit longer to put your hand up under Vista. No, just joking. Have you unmuted Chris? Okay, you're unmuted, by the way, Chris. At least I thought you were. You're showing as active, we can't hear anything.
Yeah,
Is it right now? Yeah, you should be right now, Chris. No. Something on your end, perhaps. Or just high-speed conferencing being difficult. Okay, we'll see if it drops back in at the moment. Yeah, we'll undo. We'll unmute Dean, yeah. Okay. Okay, Chris is showing us active now, by the way. Can we hear you again, Chris? No, I think we're going to have to call you back individually in a moment. Okay. Yep, no problem. Alright, unmute Dean. Okay, you should be active, Dean, I think. Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
I really don't know, Dean. You can plug it into a different computer, and if it doesn't respond properly, it's a broken number pad. Well, it's still covered under warranty, and honestly, you plug them in and they work, and if they don't, you've got a broken number pad. So, there's no special switches or... yes, this is module 7 today, and that will go up a little later this morning.
Module 6, we finished on Wednesday.
We finished module 6. What's module 6? That was...
Yeah.
ITU. ITU you're talking about.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. We'll probably be posting you a CD anyway. Because that'll be easier than downloading them all. I mean, you... okay, well, there's actually been a whole pile of new stuff that just turned up this morning that you haven't seen yet, because I just bought it in this morning.
It's up to him to catch up on what he's got, and I'll post a CD across.
That's all right. He just heard you because you're unmuted. Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can hear Chris this time. You're active, apparently. Yeah, we can.
Yay, we can hear you. Well
done. We really do go into switches next week, don't we? I can hardly wait. Okay, well, that's good. We are looking at trying out this Ventrilo technology because it does sound a damn sight nicer, and it's push to talk. So, look, I think that the main problem we're having... actually, I might just stop recording at this point because we've finished the canned stuff. I'll just go star 71. Here we go, now we can all sneeze and do all the things we need to do. Basically the biggest problem with Skype and the interaction with high speed conferencing is that we're sampling the whole thing down to 8,000 samples per second, MULOR effectively, so that you can interoperate with telephones. Skype sounds a lot better when you're on Skype conferences by itself, but as soon as you hook it into high-speed conferencing, it doesn't sound so cool. And I'll just hit stop on this recording as well, when I'm in the right window.